die, monster! You don't belong in this recording.
It was not by my hand that I made a roundtable discussion about pop culture topic me with the letter S. I was called here by Kevin, who wished to pay me tribute.
Tribute? You occupy men's brain and make them your slaves.
Perhaps the same could be said of all podcasts.
Your words are as empty as your speech. The internet ill needs a savior such as you.
What is a podcast? A miserable pile of nerds! But enough talk. How about you?
Hello, and welcome to the S-Words Podcast, a pop culture roundtable discussion about topics beginning with the letter S. Contrary to popular belief based on what we've just said, this week's S-Words topic is not Symphony of the Night. It is Simon Belmont, which is pretty close to the same thing in a lot of words. All right, I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Michael Lee.
I'm Danny Sidorago.
I'm Ian McConville.
And let's start this off the pretty standard way after the non-standard intro. What was your first Castlevania? What was your first experience with either Simon Belmont, the Castlevania series, or...
Well, I do remember watching my friends play the original Castlevania. My first game was Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest for the NES.
Yes, indeed.
The Castlevania RPG.
Was that your first experience with, like, what you would call these days an RPG? It was pretty experimental for its time.
Yeah, it kind of was. And the story was different, too. Instead of going to kill Dracula, your goal is to reassemble him so you can kill him.
Yeah, that was what amused me about that, and it didn't really occur to me how odd that sounded much later.
Well, you just did it wrong the first time.
Clearly.
All right.
My first experience with Simon Belmont, specifically, actually, was the cover of Nintendo Power that featured Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, because that freaked the hell out of me.
Why?
It was actually an issue. It was just an image of a dude in armor carrying Dracula's severed head.
Did he wear armor? He did it in Simon's Quest, right?
Yeah.
He's been depicted with at least, like, chest armor, but...
Yeah, breastplate.
You know, later on they eventually just made him... Yeah, he's all in leather. But then again, they made everybody in leather eventually.
Yeah, that's true. Alright.
Yeah, that terrified me for years.
So when did you actually play a Castlevania?
Probably with Castlevania 3. I was watching one of my friends play.
Which one was 3? Is that Trevor? No.
Trevor, yeah.
Yes, it is Trevor. It's Trevor, Sophia, and Alucard, right?
It's Trevor, Sypha.
It was the game with Trevor and two useless dudes.
And Alucard.
Was Alucard a hidden character in that one?
No, they were all available.
All four of them?
You just had to go a long way to get them.
Yeah.
It's one of the more circuitous routes.
All right.
Well, with me, my first one was Simon's Quest as well. From that game creeping me out. You got genuinely scared when the night effect started. You're just like, oh crap!
It had a creepy atmosphere. This is an NES game.
It was the only time I've been attacked in a town before.
Oh, you think you're safe, eh?
Yeah. Oh. See, you find that church.
One of my big issues with the game, though, is that the townsfolk lied to you.
Did they?
Some of the advice that they gave to you didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't remember the specific right now.
Oh, there was stuff like, I don't know, go use the holy water on the tree and such and such. And like, such and such? There's no such place.
Great. So was that a translation error, or was that just the way it was?
We never found out the certain. I never found out the certain.
I thought the director of the game just said it was just plain, outright lies.
That's awesome.
Oh, I can see that. Why should a random townsperson know exactly what you need to do next?
It was an interesting concept, yeah. Not one my, 8-year-old brain really appreciated.
Alright, so my personal first Castlevania was the remix soundtracks. Because anybody who's a Castlevania fan knows that Castlevania music never dies. It just gets remixed with new instruments and new games. There's actually a long-running series of game facts that just tracks every single song through every single Castlevania, which is a frightening prospect.
If they didn't have the fact, I would have put something else on it anyways.
Have you seen that FAQ?
I think I know which one you're talking about, yeah.
He updates it for every single Castlevania game for every new Castlevania game.
Yeah.
And, like, there's this weird spreadsheet thing at the bottom that tracks it all. But anyway, back in high school, my friend was like, hey, check this out. It's a pretty cool soundtrack, huh? I'm like, ooh, I like butt rock.
Butt rock.
Yeah, nothing wrong with butt rock.
Yeah.
Nothing but guitars and, like, drums and keyboard and more guitar. And then, did I mention guitar?
it is important to the theme.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, so what's from here? Well, here, try this. It's Symphony of the Night. Oh, cool. Why are the load times so long? Because you're playing the Saturn version, like a chump. Oh, great.
I don't know. Yeah, I thought the Saturn load times were okay.
No, more to the point, the Saturn load times are worth it.
The Saturn load times existed. That's the thing. One of the whole Symphony of the Night things that I learned about later was it's like, hey, look, you see this? This is how we're hiding the load time.
Oh, right, the corridor that you skip through. And have to watch through a little bit loading anyways. If you do it right.
If you do it right.
Whereas in Dreamcast, you loaded the load room.
Yeah. Heck, you do that a little bit on Xbox, don't you? No, not as much. Not really, not noticeably. But anyway, yeah, so that was my first Castlevania, and it introduced me to the series musically. And when it comes to soundtracks, then Symphony is the best place to start, as far as I can tell, with the full-on orchestral soundtrack.
Yeah.
It was the first CD.
Yeah, it was the first one where you could actually stick that. It had Redbook audio, didn't it?
What?
It had Redbook audio where you could actually stick the CD in a CD player, and as long as you skip.
Dracula X is the first.
Okay, you're right.
It is the first. There was CD based one, but it didn't come out here.
And if you put the Symphony of the Night PlayStation game in your CD player, Alucard told you don't put your black disc in a CD player. It won't work. And then the very next track played a secret theme that you could only hear by putting it in your CD player.
Hi. This is a PlayStation 1 black disc.
Yeah, so it was Rondo of Blood, right?
Rondo of Blood.
That actually had the full-on Redbook audio on it.
Yeah.
The PC Engine?
For the PC Engine. Yeah. It was so broken, though. I went back and played that one later on my friend's PC Engine. It's like, yeah, this is what you do. You play as Maria. She kills everything.
That's like, why you don't play as Maria. You play as Richter and suck it up.
Yeah, so let's just talk about Symphony a little bit, because that was the big turning point of the Castlevania series. Because on the pre-1996-ish...
Well, the entire concept of Castlevania is, scroll, door, boss.
Occasional turkey falling from the sky.
If you know where to
falling from the walls.
Falling from the walls, sorry.
Well, didn't you know, Dracula's castle is, founded on meat.
Yes.
It's the cornerstone of his mortar.
You just have to break the loose mortar to get to the meat, right?
Yes. And that's the only way you heal. It's got that baked-in plaster goodness.
Like eating wall meat.
Wall meat, the most delicious of all meats.
Well, there's also the weapon multipliers, also used as mortar. that's a classic.
The what? Classic. The multipliers?
Weapon multipliers. It allowed you to throw
more than one dagger at a time.
You just have more than one dagger on the screen at a time, which is really important.
Yeah.
Especially when you're using daggers, right?
Well, you don't use daggers for one, but,
you use axes.
Yeah.
Axe boomer, axe on. Axe across on.
The explanation of why items are coming from candles to me finally made sense.
Wait, they explained it?
Iga did it, I think.
Yeah.
He said, go ahead.
The licks of flame are actually trapped souls, and when you release them, they grant you gifts in return.
Oh, thanks.
So you're stealing their heart as it floats down, didn't they?
They're giving it to you.
And then they become a weapon later.
Like, hey, have a turkey, I'm out of here.
Well, have a heart, or here, have an axe, hearts. Have five hearts. Yeah. Although he still didn't have any explanation for the wall turkeys.
He doesn't need to explain the wall turkeys. It's part of...
Why do mushrooms come out of question blocks?
Who's keeping those there? Yeah, so you had a very specific kind of side-scrolling action game. It wasn't a very strict formula, because I'm thinking of Super Castlevania right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it had
its variations, obviously.
It played around with it a lot, but yeah, for the most part, it was from point A to point B.
Dracula was point B.
Yeah. And one of the big things about the early versions was the idea of multiple paths.
Yes.
Where you just go to walk there, you just beat the first stage. Would you like to go up or down?
That's right. Rondo had a lot of that.
And yeah, when you think about Symphony of Night, Symphony is actually just an extension of that, except with more backtracking.
Yeah.
A lot more backtracking.
And so, as such, they just took basically Castlevania levels, like individual Castlevania levels, and arranged them so they all fit on one map. Which was...
Genius!
Genius!
And thus, the Vania part of Metroidvania came to be.
That's true. Every Castlevania since, almost, except excluding the 3D ones in many ways, has been trying to, you know, repeat the formula with little tweaks, some better than others.
But, you know, I like the formula, so I'm okay with it.
All right. I can accept that. I can accept that. Especially since now, it was Symphony of the Night that introduced the concept of air control to the Castlevania series,
yes,
wasn't it?
Because he's half vampire.
And so he can, you know, turn around when he jumps and you go, oh, I'm not making that.
Yeah.
It doesn't fall like a lead weight for once.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't actually played any old school Castlevanias, jumping is hard.
Gravity is your enemy.
Because
and
once
the
you
pit
start,
is gravity's ally.
Once you start jumping, your trajectory is set.
The pit never has a bottom until Rondo, where I think in Rondo falling into a pit.
Rondo was an implementation of the multipath system, where falling into a pit on the high end put you in the low end.
Yeah.
Falling into a pit on the low end killed you.
That's right. And to unlock Maria, you had to stay on the high end, right?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, actually, I think she was in one of the prime stages, so you actually had to fall in at some point.
Okay. You had to find out when.
A specific point.
Yeah. Because most of them would take you back to the main path, and yeah, it was really convoluted for something where you were basically just going left to right.
Alright. But yeah, so air control was very important because it suddenly made all of these games much less difficult. Although the other thing that made these games less difficult was the concept of leveling, so you would take less damage over time.
Yeah.
As opposed to more damage over time.
And changing your gear up. Getting more armor, different weapons.
Oh yeah, different weapons.
Yeah.
Non-whip weapons.
Hey, there was a trident before that too.
Yeah.
And the ice ball.
Yeah, I guess.
What did Grant do? He just threw knives, right?
He had a knife and he threw knives. Yeah. And he stuck to ceilings.
That doesn't seem very useful.
It wasn't.
It could be very useful.
Okay, fine.
Hey, you know the guy that's struggling with the pit jumping? Hi, I'm Grant Dynasty.
Whatever. Learn to jump, move. I love that name.
Grant Dynasty.
Yeah.
That's true. I wonder if he had a very successful medieval porn career after Dracula 3 was done.
Yeah, I'm going to do for you. I'm going to grant you the Dynasty.
Hey, baby. I hear you've got vampires. I'm here to clean you out with my holy water. Oh, God.
Moving right along.
Moving right along, then.
Moving along to anything but that. But, yeah, Symphony was actually, like, in addition to having all these, like, weird new gameplay elements and technology that allows you to control where you land,
What strange technology was this?
Technically an old character.
Yes.
But he's a new main.
Yeah. And it was a really big thing.
He was the first non-Belmont, right? In the lead?
No. There was a Morris somewhere. So
well, that was him. Bloodlines, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Bloodlines didn't have a Belmont, did it?
No, it had a Morris.
That's right.
And the reason why is because it was based on... Actually, I think Jonathan Morris is in one of Bram Stoker's Dracula. Or at least
Jonathan
Morris.
But yeah, Morris is one of the Americans.
And yeah, so that's how they tied into that. Like Bloodlines is just kind of odd to me, but it's there, and you know, I'm willing to acknowledge its existence.
I liked Bloodlines.
Yeah, I remember growing up thinking it was the most badass thing ever, just because it was on the Genesis.
Yeah, I can see that.
I agree with you on that point. So anyway, yeah, ever since we've had, you know, the various DS versions that are the Dawn of Sorrow, what was the other DS game with Soma in it? DOS?
Well, no, there was Dawn of Sorrow, which is the GBA one.
Right.
Dawn of Sorrow is the DS one.
Okay. And then the next one also had a DS abbreviation, didn't it? Or no?
I think so.
I thought the next
one then it was Portrait?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Let me think. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah. There was no other Castlevania DS other than Dawn of Sorrow.
Yeah.
But that was at the point where everything wanted to have the DS abbreviation for no good reason.
But yeah, I mean, Dawn of Sorrow was... I liked the directions that they took with that, just because, you know, new characters. And they also established where the end of the Castlevania plot is. 1999! Which I always thought was amusing, because...
Now they've locked themselves into a 600-year period, and by the time they're done with this series... Every 10 years, a cult will have arisen to try and resurrect Dracula.
because
here's the thing. Not many people remember this anymore. The original Castlevania games, you know, they were all within a certain amount of time for Simon.
Yeah.
And then it jumped 100 years, because according to the little myth they built up around Dracula's castle, it's supposed to come up every 100 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, after getting away from Trevor, they had to go another 100 years, and another 100 years, and then they went, we're out of centuries.
Trevor was before Simon.
Yeah, Trevor was before Simon, you're right.
Yeah. In the past.
Generations before Simon, so.
Simon was, what, 1800s?
I couldn't tell you.
Or was he 1700s, Belmont? Danny?
I have tried to explain the Castlevania timeline.
It is a little bit convoluted, and it's always hard to tell what's currently canon.
Right, that's true. Well, according to Dawn of Sorrow, Julius does it, and then he's like, oh, man, I gotta do this again with this kid with his white hair.
Julius is the Belmont. He's the one who manages to end Dracula's castle.
Oh, that's right. In, like, 1976.
1999.
Oh, he does it in 1999?
Yeah, he's...
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, spoiler.
Because the Dawn of Sorrow games, they take place in 20XX, right?
I think it's 2030.
Yeah. Well, they didn't end it too well, did he?
Yeah, well, what happened was he seals the castle in a lunar eclipse. And so it doesn't come up, well, it's not supposed to come up, for a while. Because he actually, you know, instead of allowing Dracula to reincarnate as Dracula, he seals all the evil castle in the eclipse itself. And that's supposed to have sealed it off, but, well, you know how these things go.
More money needs to be made.
Yeah, more Castlevanias need to be made. We've run out of traditional times for, you know, I think it's like X76 or X99 or I can't remember what. Every 100 years. 19XX. Strikers? What?
Yeah.
They're trying too hard with plot and such. Just go, alright, here's your whip. Here's the castle. Go!
Yeah,
you know there's a vampire at the top. Go!
Yeah.
Remember that a lot of the games, these days, that because of Symphony, they try and confine you to the castle a lot more.
Yeah.
But in the original times, you know, yeah, you were all over the place.
You had to start over at the country border.
If you got to Dracula's castle, that was an achievement.
Yeah.
Because the Bat and Pit boss was waiting for you in between.
It's not a boss.
It killed me more than any other boss in that game, I'm telling you.
It's a mild game feature.
Well, what was nice about that equation, though, is it allowed you for that really awesome drawbridge, the gateway.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the castle.
Yeah.
But I mean,
no enemies, just ominous music.
I'm just thinking, like, Rondo had a pirate ship, I think. You were on a pirate ship at some point. There was, like, a stagecoach.
On a river. There's one point you're traveling down a river, like, literally, on a log on the river.
How do you get to Dracula's castle?
Yeah.
And, I mean, in Simon's quest, did you even have Dracula's castle at the end, or did you just fight him?
You just brought him back.
At the end, you had to go into his castle.
Okay.
But the castle was empty.
Right.
There was nothing to fight until you bring Dracula back.
Was it his castle? I thought you just broke your way into the ground and went down into a tomb.
No.
Because there was like, you had to crouch for 5 seconds, and that opened up a stairwell.
Are you thinking of Link now? Are you thinking of Legend of Zelda?
No, it was just another one of those
like
things.
That sounds like something Simon's Quest would do, actually.
Yeah. In fact, I'm pretty sure, yeah, you had to have a special gem, and you had to go to this one end of a river and crouch for 5 seconds.
Was it after he had one of his parts, like the eye of Dracula or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
The eye, the nail, the
rib.
The rib, yeah.
I think femur was in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, alright. And, yeah, so you had a really big shift in styles after that. Do we want to talk about 3D Castlevanias at all, or should we just ignore their existence?
Bring it up. I mean, I feel obligated to bring it up, mostly because, well, they're there. And they once again attempt to reestablish where the beginning of the Belmont storyline is.
Wait, didn't they do that with the PS2 3D one, with the chick?
They've done it repeatedly.
Never touched a single one.
And yeah, it's always messy. I mean, I was okay with some of the 3D Castlevanias, it's just, the level design was just so samey. Miss being able to actually distinguish where I am. It might partially be because, you know, I can visually map a 2D area, but 3D corridors, unless you put a lot of work into distinguishing them, are just gonna look the same, because that's how you make 3D corridors.
Mm. That's fair enough. Alright, so let's actually talk about Simon Belmont a little bit, since we've mentioned Simon's Quest.
Yeah.
Largely because he's one of those iconic video game heroes, and one of the reasons he kind of became an iconic video game hero was Captain N the Game Master.
Damn it! Why'd you have to bring that up?
Because I had to.
I think he was iconic before he was.
I really hope he was iconic before he was on Captain N.
What are you talking about? The Green Bomber was only iconic because of Captain N and his
The deformed blue bomber was iconic. Not anymore, the green bomber appeared on Captain Ed.
For those of you who don't, who weren't around in the 80s to watch Captain N the Game Master.
Mega, mega.
Well.
Your life is richer because of it.
Your life is so much richer because of it.
But basically, it had Kevin, who was a ordinary boy who was sucked into his television, thrust into the weird amalgam game world.
With his dog.
With his dog?
Yeah, that's right.
And his dog. The Nintendo Zapper, and a controller that he used as a belt buckle.
A magic controller.
Well, yeah, it had, and so a certain amount of charge that only could recharge between episodes.
And so the regular characters were Kid Icarus,
who was
called Kid Icarus and not Pit.
Not Pit.
Yeah, he was Kid Icarus because everything he said ended in Icarus.
Yeah.
You had Simon Belmont.
We have Simon Belmont, who is an abomination of nature.
With his big, pompadour.
Yeah, the pompadour aviator goggles.
Yeah, he looked like a flight pilot.
He kind of looks like a Ghostbuster, actually.
He's like a blue, tan launch pad.
Yeah,
kind of
reminded me
of Egon from the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah, he reminded me of Egon from the real Ghostbusters.
He's a cross between Egon and Launchpad. Holy crap.
And his purpose in life was to be egotistical and not do anything else.
And narcissistic.
It was... Ugh.
What were the other recurring characters? Did they have Metroid?
The Green Bomber.
The Green, yes. Green Mega Man.
Who, instead of ending all of his sentences in Icarus, started all of his sentences Mega.
That's right.
Megabyte.
We're not fans.
Megabyte was a different series. That was Reboot.
Which we are fans.
I don't remember who the villains were except for Mother Brain.
There was Mother Brain, who was
Hippo.
And
Hippo,
Eggplant
yes.
Wizard.
Eggplant Wizard.
King Hippo from Punch Out, that's right!
No, wait, was that Zelda or just the princess of video games?
It was some other princess, but they did have an episode where they went and teamed up with Link and Zelda.
And the reason why it's so easy to confuse is because these two shows were back to back. There was Captain N the Game Master, followed immediately by
Mario Hour. Or Mario.
Oh, excuse me.
Excuse me, princess.
Oh, Simon Belmont. Alright, I just had to bring that up because I wanted to stab you in the brain a little bit there, Danny.
I'll have my revenge, man.
Can pop culture give you a burning discharge? I'm just curious.
In some cases, yes, especially when it involves, movies filmed in Thailand or prequels / sequels.
Yeah.
Prequels that are sequels are, the worst thing in the world. Directed by whoever it is who did Wolverine.
But yeah, the next major appearance of... Actually, Simon doesn't show up for a lot of it. I mean, that pretty much is his storyline. 1 and 2. And
three,
then
let's four.
See.
What? Yeah. Which one was 4? Oh, that was Super.
Castlevania was where he lives to rip diagonally.
Yes.
Of the original.
Yeah, I remember just being fascinated by,
You could hold the whip out.
Yeah.
And spin it around.
Wow. I've never been so fascinated with a limp body before.
That's what she said.
But
is that what started you on your quest to become an artist? Wow, limp bodies. I'm just going to whip this thing around in a circle for a while.
No.
I should hope not. But, when I was a kid, I thought the Belmont clan was the most badass thing ever. A theory that I continue to hold to.
They had a really good theme song.
Yeah.
Then why would you try and kill somebody with just a whip? I mean, cause them pain, sure, but...
Because they actually tried to explain that in the PS2 3D one, right?
Yeah.
They try to make it, all special and holy and stuff. It's it's just the whip, alright? It's called the Vampire Killer. Guess what it does?
Well, it is a holy whip.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it is a holy whip, which is, I was okay with that explanation, and it didn't mean...
You didn't need the Vampire Killer to have a backstory?
Yeah, I didn't need the midichlorians in my
Did backstory. You like the part of Portrait of Ruin where you had to go inside the whip?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was such a fun fight.
I hated that fight. You want to know why I hated that fight?
Because you couldn't use Charlotte.
Yeah! It's why can't I just cast spells and make it dead?
But yeah, the Vampire Killer is pretty high there on the lists of iconic weapons for me. Because,
I mean, it's one of the few weapons that you get, over the entire history of the series.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, the X-Buster or the Mega-Buster, depending on which series you're playing. And what else, has the same weapon that you always start with?
Mario's ass?
Technically his feet.
It was Mickey Mouse's ass. Mickey Mouse actually is the iconic butt stomp, isn't he?
I'm trying to remember how far back the butt stomp goes.
Yoshi stomps with his feet.
Yoshi originally just walked on stuff.
Yeah?
I swore if you hit Z or something, you...
I mean, he has several butt stomps. Like, later
now
on.
We're just getting sidetracked with butt stomps.
That's okay, it's old school gaming, it works.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse were my first experience with the butt stomp. As an actual butt stomp of, you know, sitting on things E. Honda style.
Yeah.
The butt. Nature's deadliest surface.
It is. You know, at least in Mario it made vague sense because he was jumping on them with his feet.
Yeah.
With other people, not so much. Mostly behind.
But, so, yeah, I mean, like, I'm a big fan of the Castlevania series in general. Like, I'm probably the one who actually keeps track of what the timeline looks like.
Well,
weird freak of nature that it is.
Hey, as a pre-release, pre-order thing, they had this little timeline that came with, I think, Portrait. It was Portrait.
Yeah, it was the Portrait, and they missed three games.
That's right.
All-inclusive.
Yeah. An all-inclusive timeline, missing three games. Which ones were they?
Let's see, the first one that comes to mind is the Sonya origin story, which is no longer canon.
Oh, they turned Sonya's origin into a side story?
Yeah, the Game Boy. Okay. I don't know if it was the first one, but it was one of the earlier Game Boy games. I want to say Castlevania Adventure.
I'm trying to think of any video game that has been so retconned as the Castlevania series.
You're going to have difficulty, because this is the only one that's actually set to a real-world timeline that's supposed to match vaguely with, you know, stuff that happens.
Yeah, I think the only other series that you can find an argument for is Zelda.
Yeah,
and that's just people trying to make them all fit into the same timeline.
They've never admitted to a timeline, though.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not the same.
Well, I have seen a good case for why Majora's Mask is tied to Twilight Princess, but, you know.
Okay.
That's another story.
Yeah, that's easier to argue for, I mean, than trying to make a unified theory of Zelda. Yeah, that's just an invitation for pain.
Yeah. Well, an invitation for pain is trying to stretch a storyline over 30 years of real time and then 600, 700 years of imaginary time. It's like, okay, we haven't covered, the Hundred Years War. Wait, no, that's out of the timeline. All right, how about the Franco-Prussian War? Yes, we can have that. Because, I mean, they've set Castlevanias in World War II. Castlevanias around World War II, haven't they? And then they set Castlevanias in the modern era, they've set Castlevanias in the future, they've set Castlevanias in, like, the Industrial Revolution era.
Wait, which one was World War II? I don't remember that one.
That one was Portrait of Ruin. Or is that World War I for Portrait? It was II, okay.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Okay, I'm seeing it now. I didn't really think about that.
But, yeah. I mean, they're just trying to stuff, like, okay, there's a 30-year gap here where we didn't have a Dracula rising. So what we can do is have another cult rise and try to resurrect Dracula.
Cults everywhere.
Cults everywhere. It's Transylvania, folks. Whatever. We'll have more cults who just didn't care that the last cult also got annihilated by the Belmonts
or the Morrisons.
So here's the question.
Which cult was your favorite? Mine was Shaft.
Yeah.
Because his name is Shaft.
The great preacher.
Shut your mouth.
I'm talking about Shaft.
I can dig it.
Yeah, you can make a pretty strong case for Shaft. I mean...
Well, he was the first fake ending, wasn't he?
Yes. Well, the main thing is, Shaft has an interesting place because of the way Symphony of the Night was set up, almost nobody played Rondo of Blood in America. Yeah. At the point when Symphony of the Night came out. So everyone was, you know, like, knows about this whole backstory, but they never actually played the first game. So they just know about Shaft. And you know that Shaft is pulling the strings once you actually get that far.
Well, you know, he's a complicated man.
Yeah.
And no one understands him.
But Dracula.
Yeah. No, I like the Ecclesia cult just because I like the game.
Yeah.
Spoiler. Whatever.
But yeah. I mean...
Shut your mouth!
No.
But yeah, I mean, so many of these things, I mean, in Dawn of Sorrow, right, you have a little cult rise up around you.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't want you, go away!
Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, that's just one of those things that comes up in Castlevania games. Cults trying to resurrect Dracula, you trying to resurrect Dracula, I mean, it's just...
It's a hobby when there's nothing to do in the boondocks of Europe, apparently.
I'm bored.
Me too.
Let's resurrect Dracula.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's just an excuse to bring him back and then beat him down again. I'm okay with that.
Well, killing him was kind of pointless to begin with. I mean, he's friends with Death. They're practically roommates.
What do you mean? I'm pretty sure that after all of Death's time in the castle, Dracula charges him rent.
Yeah. I mean, what? He's basically hiding under the couch or whatever, in between the hundreds of years, like, shh, no one's home. I'm dead.
No, you're Death.
Close enough. Who's at the door, Death? Belmont. Not here.
Who's at the door now, Death? That's your deadbeat son. Take his stuff. Hide it. What? That's what happens.
If you're doing it wrong, sure.
Exclamation point. Apostrophe Q.
Thanks, Mike. Yes, it's your son, X-X. That's his name? I didn't name him that.
He's incognito.
What's he call himself in the Soma series?
Oh, Genya, Arikado.
Yeah, Arikado.
Which is a lot more obvious in English for some reason.
Yeah. I do like when, at the end of, was it, Dawn of Sorrow, when they sort of extra game mode, you get him again and he wears his old outfit and just like, alright.
Yes.
Well, not only this is the thing that people complained about. They're like, oh, he doesn't do all of these cool things I remember from Symphony. He just turns into a bat and shoots fireballs. It's like,
that's what he did in 3.
That's what he did in 3. If you didn't know this, folks, there's a mode in Dawn of Sorrow where Soma becomes Dracula. And Julius goes, I'm getting too old for this. And he walks in.
And to the new I think there's some ass that needs to be kicked.
And so there's Julius Belmont, who plays almost exactly the same as Trevor Belmont.
He's basically, yeah, he's a traditional Belmont going through.
And then you have the whatever
Yoko Belnades.
Yeah, who is the who is the descendant of Sypha Belnades, who plays exactly like her great grandma,
except that she heals when she hits things because
she has to be useful somehow.
Yeah,
and then you're
killing things wholesale with magic.
And then you have Alucard, who animates like Symphony of the Night for some reason, and then he plays like Castlevania 3. Where people go, what happened to him?
Well, he's a little bit. He's just, not quite the map killer that he used to be.
He's like a Miata that controls like a tank.
Yeah, well, Soul Steal. That's all I did. That's the only reason I survived when I did the 99 luck code in Symphony. I killed a bunch of things until I finally had enough magic points to do Soul Steal, and then I walked around Soul Stealing, and then running, and then Soul Stealing.
Soul Steal! Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so, where were we?
3D Castlevanias?
3D Castlevanias.
Really?
Was that where we were?
No.
I don't think we were there. Let's move on. Let's just talk about something else. Let's talk about the soundtracks, because I love those things.
Yeah, actually, Castlevania 3 was one of the very first games ever where I got, put in the code to get the sound test mode, and just sat there listening to the music for hours on end.
Yeah.
I did that with Sonic 2.
Yeah, between that and the original Final Fantasy game, that was when I had my first real interest in video game music, which has continued to this day. And yeah, I'll second the opinion that's already been brought up, that Symphony of the Night has one of the greatest soundtracks.
I mean, Lost Painting.
Which one's Lost?
No? Oh wait, that one, okay. I thought you were talking about the Upside Down Castle theme, which I hate.
Is that the ice area?
Yeah, you're doing the ice cave one. The upside down castle one is.
Thanks.
No, that scream is actually me. After hearing that song for like 10 hours straight.
I like the one in the chapel area on the right side of the castle.
That's a nice. Yeah. I cannot choose. It's like choosing between my children. I love that soundtrack.
I like the song that only exists in the Japanese version, if you have the half fairy and fall asleep.
Yeah.
Huh?
You miss all... Yeah, there, nobody...
There's two fairies in the Japanese version.
There's two fairies.
Yeah. Really?
And the thing is that one of them was voiced by, at the time, a very, very popular voice actress, Hekirushina. And if you went into that one room where Alucard could sit down...
The confession room.
Was it the confession room?
That's where the chair...
Well, I mean, yeah, there are chairs in the confession
room. Yeah, you can sit down anywhere there's a chair. You can sit down with Olros if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then he'd kill you, but other than that...
Oh, he'd shoot it.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, there were certain rooms of the castle where you could not only sit down, but fall asleep. And in the Japanese version, there was something called the lyrics card, where if you equipped it, you just went, huh, I don't know what this is for. And then if you had that and you had the half fairy familiar, this was, by the way, the only difference between the fairy familiar and the half fairy familiar, is that the half fairy sang for you.
They also had different accents. I think the half fairy was Kansai then.
Something like that. I don't remember. They spoke differently, and that's it. Mechanically, there was no difference except for singing.
Yeah. No difference.
And so, yeah, I liked that one. I also spent a lot of time in the sound test of Symphony of the Night going, Konami! Konami! Konami!
Konami!
Yeah. But that was just me being stupid and making up a Konami rap.
They love putting all sorts of just tiny little random things that people aren't going to find. Under normal circumstances. Like, Alucard turning into stone falling off stairs.
What happens then?
Oh, I did find that accident. It's like, what just happened?
What happens then?
Normally when you get turned into stone, you know, you get stuck in the stun pose. And then you land wherever it is that you're falling back.
And yeah, you're gray because you're stuck.
Yeah.
No big.
So, you know, you fall on normal ground, that's all that ever happens. If you fall on stairs.
There's a chance.
There's a very small chance. That instead of falling in as your normal form, you fall in what is referred to as his true form, which is a demon that takes up a third of the screen.
Yeah, it's this huge gargoyle-looking thing with the big spread wings and horns. And...
Wait, was that only on stairs?
Yeah, you had to set it up.
Pretty sure.
You had to set it up. There's specific means of setting it up.
It
happened to me a lot in the podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, they like sticking in those
heads.
Yeah,
I remember which one was it? Was it the PS2 one where they didn't have any remixes until the credits?
They really like
remixing themes. Like, Portrait of Ruin was half remixes of very familiar themes.
And it was awesome.
Vampire Killer of art. And, what's the other one?
Beginnings.
Almost... And Bloody Tears.
One, two, and three. Vampire Killer, Bloody Tears, and Beginnings is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it's just called Beginning, not Beginning.
In that PS2 game, you didn't hear any one of them until the credits. And you hear the very faint strains of the theme if you listen closely after about, I think, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, I guess it's better than I am the wind, I am the sun,
and one day you'll all be...
How do I know that?
What do you think you know that? It's Symphony. We've played that thing at least 12 times through.
Yeah, I guess it's that.
Alright, so soundtracks. How many of those do you guys actually own? I own a couple.
Yeah,
I own a couple of the remix ones.
Yeah.
By the way, never buy the Konami Kukie Ha Club stuff. It's terrible.
I remember that word.
I think they have the occasional good track. At least I remember some of them being good.
Some of them are just, like, really bad, though. It's like, because you were in that strange era of techno where they thought that it was the height of artistic appeal to have someone go, ow! Every few beats. Boom, 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 ow! Give me a beat. It's like, what? Come on!
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the music of Castlevania has always been one of its most striking features. You've got the remix, constant remixes, you've got one of the best, most well-orchestrated soundtracks in Symphony, you've got a bunch of really good ones since.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a lot of inventiveness with the 8-bit format.
Well, yeah, that was one of the things about back then. I mean, you just had to mix something up.
They were really good beats, though. Really well arranged.
The fact that they can continue to remix them, and, you know, it still holds, is actually probably pretty indicative.
And they don't just remix it in the Castlevania series, by the way. We've spotted Bloody Tears in Silent Hill games.
Nice.
There's obviously the one in Castlevania, in, what is it, Keyboard Mania?
Yeah, Keyboard Mania.
I was about to say Castlemania.
Which is awesome.
It's a really good mix if you ever have a chance to look for it. Hardly recommend it.
They've snuck a few of the melodies into DDR, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a part of the Konami culture. to stick that music in there wherever you can. And it's fun, actually. It's like a treasure hunt for a melody.
And in some cases, it literally is a treasure hunt for melody.
Why?
Well, you remember Ecclesia?
Yeah?
Or you can run around and randomly pick up portions of the soundtrack?
Yes, that's right. That's cool. That's where they snuck a lot of the remixes in, is you pick up a record, and you can just say, hey, look, Vampire Killer! And you use it as an item in your inventory, and it starts playing that over the music. It replaces the background track.
Pretty much.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah. I actually should do some of the side quests to pick those up, because there are side quests that only exist to let you unlock more music.
Yeah, because you're not beating Dracula anytime soon, right?
Yeah, I'm not beating Dracula anytime soon.
Wait, what?
I keep getting killed by his bat spray because I keep playing it in theaters and stuff, and I'm not fully paying attention, so I die horribly.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, what are your favorite tracks, other than the ones that we mentioned?
I'm trying to remember the name now. I mean, Tragic Prince?
Which one was that one?
It was something from Symphony. I'd have to cheat in order to find out more about it.
I mean, what brings you to it? What do you like about it, specifically?
It is that's the word I'm looking for here.
Badass?
Prototypical butt rock.
Ah, butt rock! Yes! That's what draws me to the remix soundtracks. However, it's not what actually draws me to the real soundtrack, because if I hear that during Castlevania, I'll scream. I have Devil May Cry for that.
Yeah.
And what other... Oh, yeah, I have Guilty Gear for that, too.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that...
Like, so
I mean, I can recognize all of the originals on Contact, so... You know, one, two, three, Vampire Killer, Bloody Tears, beginning.
For me, I like Evergreen...
I like
Overture and Prologue, all from Castlevania 3.
Yeah.
Evergreen, I actually heard a really good violin remix of that one. It's on their classic album. It's one of the few good ones on that album, by the way.
And again, Symphony, you know, take your pick.
Ian?
I'm not that cultured in the soundtracks, actually. I don't know the names of any of them. I just know I like that chapel theme.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good enough. I remember the song that the half fairy sings you was one of the first ones that things that I ever translated. And I was like, this doesn't mean anything. It's like, huh? This doesn't mean anything. All right, whatever. And then I went back to it 10 years. I went back to the boot 10 years later. I'm like, she's not a very good singer either. What did I do? Why did I like this song? I guess it was because I was like, hey, I'm playing this game in Japanese.
Yeah.
It was cutesy.
So yeah, also something that brought people in with Castlevania Symphony of the Night was the art style, because it was very different from any other game, right?
Beautiful art.
Absolutely
beautiful art.
And they stayed with that for a while, and then what happened to it? They just stopped for a while, right? They stopped for two games.
For Dawn of Sorrow. For Dawn of Sorrow, they basically went into, I don't know, I guess they wanted to do an animated opening. So they went really, really...
Really stereotypically Japanese animation for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, if you look at it, it actually does go back to the original, like, Castlevania 1 and 2 old-school style art.
But was that a good thing?
I like the symphony art.
Yeah, I love the symphony art, so I was not really a fan of that game.
It's
not like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, I have the Symphony of the Night in my Xbox 360 wallpaper, so I am a fan of that art style, obviously.
And yeah, it was fitting for the theme of the games themselves. I mean, it wasn't something you'd see normally, but, you know, it worked for the genre. As opposed to the, animation, which didn't. And upon retrospect, starting to remind me more and more of Simon Belmont, Captain N, the Game Master.
Really?
Thanks, Tom.
Oh, that's what Jonathan looks like. Oh, that burned into your head now, isn't it?
No, I'll just have to go actually play the game itself again and, you know, excise that from...
Now, just imagine Jonathan Morris with aviator goggles and a pompadour. And the pompadour isn't that big of a departure from his actual character design.
I guess.
And now imagine him looking into a mirror and admiring how awesome he is. No, yeah!
Mirrors will kill you!
You should know this.
Which mirror are you talking about now?
Like, any mirror in a Castlevania game has a 50-50 chance of reaching out and stabbing you if there's a reflection in it.
Really? I don't remember that.
It's been there since Symphony. Actually, it might have been in there sooner than that. But, you know, a lot of them, you'll see it during the doppelganger fights, you'll see it during, actually just some random, there are some random rooms in Portrait of Ruin where you're walking past and something will try to stab you.
And, the doppelganger fight in Symphony, that's like some portal thing.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Alright, I'll accept it. Let's just talk about our favorites. So, I know the Castlevania games are, there's not too many of them to make a big list out of your favorites, but I'm gonna ask
what you're talking about.
What about your favorite characters? Let's just go down the list and see who your favorite characters are from these things, favorite enemies. Well, let's go with characters first. Mike, set top three.
I've got to say Alucard.
That's one.
He's probably the top.
Okay.
And then there's Death. I mean,
Death.
He's the ultra loyal servant, always serving Dracula. Yeah, I mean, he's the man.
And he's a little boring to fight against, though, because he's always just, like, throwing scythes at you, and that's it.
He does other things sometimes. Yeah, he's seen the run of blood.
If you figure his patterns, he's not all that. But
he's reliable, but needs to restock the fridge now and again.
With Death in Rondo of Blood, you fight him on top of the pirate ship.
Oh, okay.
And the first part is him floating around, you know, the sides appearing out of nowhere, flinging at you, and you just have to jump up and move. The second part of it, he says, "Screw this! Lands, look, gross feet!"
Well, he has feet?
He has feet?
Yes.
Wow! Is that the only time he's ever had feet?
I'm sure he's had feet in other scenarios, but...
Are you sure?
I'm reasonably certain.
All right.
It's funny how he gets more difficult when he's grip-bound.
Yeah, he lands, pulls out the side, grows a second blade for it, and then fights you hand-to-hand. And yeah, he's a lot harder than two.
That's because you can't walk under him anymore.
Yeah.
I hate enemies whose sole, like, adversarial quality is that they just take up a lot of screen real estate.
I mean, in Order of Ecclesia, my main strategy against Death was to run back and forth along the bottom of the screen on fire. It's like, you throw the sides at me. Watch, I'm on fire.
What, Death can't get you if you're on fire?
Pretty much.
Death can't catch you if you're on fire.
Exactly!
That's a very Dr. McNinja move.
So what was your number three then, Mike?
I've been thinking about it. I guess I gotta go with Maria.
There?
Yeah. I mean, she's...
Just as a character, or did you actually play as her in the Saturn version?
She's brokenly overpowered.
Oh my god, she's disgusting in the power. She's disgustingly overpowered in the Saturn version.
Yeah, but, yeah. Even as a just a character, yeah. I like her.
It's her, the only hero to ever fling animals at her enemies.
I think in Symphony she does Kung Fu style, so punches and kicks.
Yeah.
So mostly kicks.
And magic, and then she summons giant...
When you have enough mana, magic. Then yeah, it's just all Sadio all the time.
I hated her art in Symphony. She had tiny arms.
Yeah. That's why you didn't punch, you kicked.
Danny?
Alright, so my number three is Richter Belmont, because he's a classic. He's actually... Like
he's not a classic.
He's a prototype. He's been in like three games.
Yeah, that
helps.
That's a
okay, that's
so
true.
Not counting Game Boy games for some of years.
But yeah, he's been in a lot of games and he has played a different role in each of them. And yeah, he's also the introduction of the concept of the item crash, which has been my lifeblood ever since it was invented.
Final Storm,
also known as
girls.
Don't have to die for the next 8 seconds. Important skill. My number two is a spoiler, Soma Cruz as the villain.
Soma God.
Yeah, for any of you who are still listening after I said the word spoiler, well, it's your own fault because Soma Cruz is actually the reincarnation of Dracula. And yeah, is one of the things he does is he meets up with Jay, who turns out to be Julius Belmont.
I'm gonna hyperventilate here.
And you know, and after they discuss it, he starts to realize what he is. He makes a promise with Julius. If I turn, you come for me. And so at the end of Aria of Sorrow, if you die in the last area, where you're fighting inside basically Dracula's soul, if you lose there, instead of getting the normal game over screen, you get a screen of Soma sitting in a chair, drinking a glass, Julius walking in. I'm here to keep my promise. Soma tosses the glass, fade to black. And it is one of the most badass things ever.
So that's where Julius turns evil. And he comes back to this right-hand man.
Possibly. Probably not. And yeah,
okay, let's go evil.
And they extend this in Dawn of Sorrow, where there's an entire mode around that.
I'm getting too old for this.
Yeah. At the end of that mode, when you have to go up against Soma, he has a different line based on who you're choosing to fight as. So, if I remember right, when you walk in as Julius, he goes, Krugai, Belmont!
Which is, come at me, Belmont! Essentially.
And I think he actually says, I'm trying to remember if he said for Arukar, if he actually says, you know, Waga Muskul. Or just, you know.
His penis? Sorry.
Hold on.
Oh,
that comes in your way specifically for that.
That's what I call it.
But yeah.
Too much information? Probably. Kevin, don't cut this out.
But yeah, that was just an awesome mode. I just like that they were willing to put that much into it. It was effectively, you know, a side mode. Let's see. And my number one, I'm fairly certain almost no one's going to recognize this name. Ralph C. Belmont.
Nice.
I recognize it.
Yeah, none of this Trevor Bull. Ralph. His name is Ralph.
I'm very surprised, though, that you didn't pick Rakumoto himself.
Yeah. he's already been like my number two anime.
Everything?
Yeah. Number two anime, number two anime villain, number two video game villain. Yeah, he's all over the place for that.
Alright.
Go Ralph.
And yeah, Ralph is the original origin story of the Belmont clan.
That's
so
right.
So decided to retcon it, and retcon it again, and I'm sure they're just waiting for another chance.
Okay, so what do you think? What would be your origin story for the Belmont family? Considering they've tried twice now and failed both times, apparently.
I was okay with the Sonya storyline, except for the fact that they also tried to imply that Alucard was the dad. Which just gets awkward if you think about it. So I didn't agree with me that much.
I think it begins with Magical Trevor.
Thanks.
His leathery whip.
Well, I'm thinking that there's a holy cow somewhere.
And you mean India, perhaps?
He's made into a whip. Leathery.
How about... this is my origin story for the Belmonts. My origin story is there's a demon cow. And they have to beat it. And then they turn its skin into a whip and they make it holy. Huh? How about that?
That makes sense and also explains the meat.
Yeah, see? It explains that Dracula's castle was built in the ribs of this giant demon cow. I can see this. Castlevania. Make it, Konami.
I don't think I can blink loud enough for the mic to pick me up.
That is problematic, yeah.
Alright, Ian. Who are your favorite characters in Castlevania?
Alright, let's see. Number three, I'm gonna go with Simon just because it's my first love. My first experience in this world.
Aw, you always remember your first.
You could do worse.
I don't know. It had a really creepy atmosphere for an 8-bit game, and, you know, he was the guide through it. It was pretty
cool. Alright, that's one.
See, two, I'm also going with Soma Cruz. If only because of right before the, heading into the final battle, to get the proper ending, you had to assemble the abilities of Dracula.
Oh, that's yeah, right. I remember that now.
You have to become Dracula, basically.
You need to get the bat form, you need the teleport, and you need the fireballs.
That was a pretty good design, actually. I liked that.
They didn't really follow that properly with the sequel, Dawn of Sorrow. It was just like, and get these random three that have nothing to do with anything.
And by the way, draw on the screen.
Yes.
Because we hate you. Sorry. Only a little bitter
we
about that.
We'll talk about that part.
The guy also rocked a white trench coat with a fur collar.
Yeah, I liked that costume.
It is.
And you couldn't give him crap about it because he's Dracula.
Yeah.
He'll just kill you. It's like, hey, nice coat. Ah!
You've seen the guest quarters. He is the original monster pimp.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's see. My number one, though? Axe Lord.
Axe Lord!
Very nice.
Yeah.
Wait, Axe Lord and not Axe Armor, just to make sure.
Oh, sorry. The Axe Lord Armor.
Okay.
Where you could jump.
All of a pixel.
Yeah.
And then that later became a character. Was it Portrait?
Which...
It became an unlockable character for one of the DS games. I can't remember now.
It was probably Portrait. No, it wasn't.
Actually, that does sound like something Portrait would do.
Yeah, Portrait was really silly.
It might have been Dawn of Sorrow.
And then you find out there's a girl inside.
What?
Yeah.
It's just like Metroid.
So this,
Samsara.
Then maybe you can break out of that and suddenly become, like, bikini armor? Axe bikini?
Only if Team Ninja makes a Castlevania game.
I wouldn't put it past them at this point. Do it, Team Ninja. Do it. You've done Metroid. You can do Vania. And then you can merge them into Metroidvania.
Guide it.
Or alive.
Or alive.
So what about you? What do you like?
All right, so I'm going with some of the more overpowered characters just because they're amusing to me. So yeah. My number 3 is Charlotte from Portrait of Ruin.
Yeah.
Because you can get through 99.9% of the game with just her and Chain Lightning.
Yeah.
Which was the reason I had to keep changing the language of my Portrait of Ruin, because otherwise I would get so sick of that voice clip. Chainy Thunder! Chainy Thunder! Okay, I'm tired of this. Save. Exit. Switch languages. Chain Lightning! Chain Lightning! Up, bored.
Incidentally, Konami, if you're listening, never take that feature out. That is one of the best features I've ever seen.
Well, especially since it was a DS game and there are only like 5 voice clips anyway.
Yeah, I guess that. How about we just don't have people shout their moves every time they attack?
Yeah, how badly would you want to strangle Iga if every time you threw an axe, Richter shouted, AXE! 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 I know!
I play Technomancer, so I've seen that.
I was so sad when they changed Link to the Past on the GBA to have it so that he barked every time he swung his sword.
Oh. Hey, yah, yah, hey, yah!
Wait, which one was this?
Link to the Past.
Right. My number 2, second most overpowered of all time, is Alucard. Because of the stuff that you could collect, it was the first time you could collect absolutely overpowered equipment, where blocking would do maximum damage every second.
Hi, I break the game. Thanks for playing.
Or you could walk forward while swinging 600 times a second.
Yeah.
I mean,
Strider.
Yeah. So that was number 2. I didn't necessarily have the same, like, lust for Alucard that other people have, but, you know, he was nifty.
Yeah.
My number 1 most overpowered character of all time. Maria. Only in Rondo. Oh. More in Rondo than in Symphony. Even though she was incredibly broken in Symphony.
Oh. Right.
But she was so broken in Rondo because...
physics in Rondo.
Yes, because she was the first person ever to be able to jump backwards. You could jump once and then jump again. It was revolutionary for the time. And not only could you jump backwards, but you attacked 4 times as fast as Richter did. With birds. Little pigeons.
Holy birds.
Holy? Were they holy?
They
were probably holy.
There were white birds. There were red birds. There was a cat.
And there was a turtle shell.
And a dragon.
And a dragon.
She had a pet supply store in her blouse.
Yes, she did. But more than that, it was the most easy time I've ever had killing Dracula. Well, not counting Alucard, who was also breaking the game. But you know what I mean.
I mean, in general, she was also just a smaller sprite.
Yes, she was harder to kill. And...
Well, I don't know, harder to kill. She was harder to hit.
Yeah, that's harder to kill for me. You must realize how I play these games.
That sounds like a higher Thaco to me.
Yeah, and then... So, yeah, I mean, it was just so easy playing through that game. It's like, all right, I've suffered through Richter.
I don't know what you're talking about. Richter is a perfectly serviceable character.
Yeah, you say that about everybody.
He had a backflip. That's how you get back.
Yeah, you want to know how you get back as Maria?
Go back?
Yeah. Sometimes you hid under a turtle shell while going back so that you were invincible doing it.
I guess there is that.
She was a little overpowered, and by a little overpowered, I mean she was the most broken thing I'd ever seen in an original game. She was your reward.
You had to get at least 3/4 of the way through the game, and do Link carry a key for most of a level, which is always fun.
And so you went up to Dracula and you're like, you know what, son? You know what I'm going to beat you with? Birds. You got beaten by a 6-year-old. Or was she 8? I forget.
Doesn't matter.
Do sprites have age?
Not according to the federal courts.
That's a little more information than I wanted to know. No, I guess it is pertinent to my need.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like, you got nowhere to stand on this one, son.
Fine.
I don't know about Maria, I mean, just because, you see what they did to her in that Wii game?
Yes. Oh. Actually, that segues...
The owl cage and the stick.
That segues nicely into my last little thing, the future of Castlevania. We have 2 Castlevania games coming up very soon. One is Judgment, the aforementioned...
Judgment actually came out...
In Japan only, or it came out...
It should be out here by now.
Really?
Yeah.
Did anyone care?
I have some friends who actually said it was a decent game, as long as you're not taking it too seriously. It's like... It's similar to Smash Brothers in that if you take it too seriously, well, it's...
Your own fault.
Your own loss.
I didn't know that came out. I actually didn't check. I hadn't seen that.
I knew it came out, but, you know, I'm allowed to ignore one Castlevania game per generation in order to maintain my sanity. And, well, I chose Judgment. And, yeah, but apparently it's...
Because the only thing I remember about that... Oh, wow! It came out last year here.
Yeah, it came out a little bit after we were actually discussing it. Like, when I first discovered it. It was about to come out.
Wow.
It was rushed.
It was rushed. No wonder I didn't see it. So, Castlevania Judgment, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's the thing. It was the art's done by the...
Obata.
Yeah, Obata. The artist for Death Note. And it shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, see, Simon Belmont's in it as a fur-clad...
Belt-clad.
Belt-laden...
He's a leather daddy.
Trevor's in it as the leather granddaddy.
Do you mean Ralph, right?
No, this is just Trevor. I refuse to associate that name with that face. I mean, he had like a leather eye patch action going, and it was just...
Wait, hold on a second here. You can deal with this for Sengoku Basara. You can deal with, what is it, Honda? As
Honda
Tadakatsu as a robot.
Which is awesome, because he's 10 feet tall. It totally makes sense now.
And you can't deal with Trevor Belmont having an eye patch.
No, it's not that Trevor Belmont has an eye patch. It's that he's wearing, like, an eye patch for a loincloth and a cross on his back.
And that's it?
Well, I think he has a shirt, too, but, you know.
Well, he's got to step up on Keelik for that one, then.
Yeah.
And then you have Dracula, who has a golden heart attached to his chest. And not like a cartoon one, like a muscular, veiny heart.
Well, that's what you need to take out of him in order to bring him back.
No wonder it's lasted so long. It's made of gold, obviously.
Yeah, vampire with a heart of gold. No, I don't really apply here.
All right, so Castlevania Judgment isn't in the future?
Sorry.
It's in the past.
In the past.
I totally forgot about it.
Castlevania Judgment 2.
I'll be honest, if we hadn't mentioned it, I would have forgot it existed.
Yeah, I totally forgot it existed until this podcast topic came up. I'm like... Hey, Castlevania Judgment, I wonder if that came out. And I got my answer.
I actively suppress its existence, like a barbarian at the gates, so that's why I know about it.
Alright then, are you sure you don't like the storyline where Maria looks up at other people's breasts and is like, oh, your breasts are big, let's fight.
Yeah, no, although Shinoa's in it.
Wasn't she the one that Maria was looking up at in the trailer, or
one
no?
One of them. No, okay. The one she was looking at was, Saifa.
Okay, just, alright then, sure, why not?
Shinoa's in it. As a nun.
What?
Combat nun. It's...
Yay!
It's a little out of left field.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'm... Okay, yeah, I can see this now. I can see why you don't want to include this in the list of games that Simon Belmont has appeared in, for example.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that. So technically he's appeared in 4, but really he's only appeared in 3.
Well, I'm trying to think. He's actually made a couple of random cameos. It was either him or Trevor that was... In Harmony of Dissonance, was it? One of the GBA games. It was. I'm pretty sure it was Trevor. And the thing about that game, it was Trevor's 8-bit sprite running around a GBA game.
You mean just like in that little scene at the beginning of Symphony? It's like Belmont.
And they're talking about the Belmont.
Yeah.
And he has that little thought bubble.
Thinks of Ralph.
Yeah, actually,
it is 8-bit form.
Where Mario is picturing Richter.
In his... Well, Richter doesn't change appearances in the 10 years in between.
They show him in the Rondo form.
Yeah, well, that's how you see him in every thing. He's just in Rondo form. Anyway, yeah, so there's another Castlevania game coming up, but we can talk about that with our stuff segment with E3. Anyway.
I was just going to say, I try not to think of it those characters in Judgment as the characters, but just people playing the parts of them on some sort of Broadway musical.
So it's a cosplay fight.
Yes,
actually, that's a good way of picturing
it. It's Castlevania Cosplay Wars.
Yeah, I can work with that. That makes a decent defense mechanism.
It's not really a game with Castlevania characters. It's a game with these really fruity people dressed as Castlevania characters.
See, if I remember correctly, Eric Lacard, the spearman from
Bloodlines.
From Bloodlines. The little boy.
Yes! I love little boy. No, I'm not gonna. Even I'm not gonna say that.
Please don't finish that sentence.
I'm not.
Okay.
It makes such a wonderful sound.
Hold on, let me say it. No, I can't. I can't do it.
And yeah, everybody, like, and apparently the plot line revolves around a keeper of time. So.
Uatu the Watcher?
He doesn't really mess with time that much.
He doesn't, well,
anyway. Master King.
Okay, we can stop this.
that's why Simon and Trevor are in the same world. But,
you
know.
What do you mean? You know, I mean, in Portrait of Ruin, you could have just summoned them from the whip.
Well, yes. Then you had to beat them down, or they'd kill you.
You see, that's a great plot line for a fighting game.
Yeah.
See?
I guess there's that.
It's not. It's just a musical, you know.
Gotta have heart. Dracula's beating heart.
Everybody loves Magical
Trevor. Everybody loves Magical Trevor. No. All right, I think that comes to an end of it. The future of Dracula seems to be in good hands, right?
Well, I'm not sure how much
we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Team Ninja's... Well, we'll see.
Team Ninja has nothing to do with it.
Oh, right. I'm confusing. Metroid!
Well, Ecclesia was good.
Ecclesia was good.
So let's keep that momentum going.
Yeah. I mean, I actually played and enjoyed all of the DS Castlevania.
Portrait of Ruin has its flaws. It's too repetitive.
I hated it.
Well, I mean, even without playing as Charlotte and casting the same spell over and over and over until things die, it's still pretty repetitive.
Okay. And I just like being able to switch back and forth if I got bored. And yeah, I was actually good enough with a whip wielder that I didn't have to worry about portions where I only had one character.
Thank you, guys. That is the end of our Simon Belmont podcast. This went longer than I expected. But hey, it's Castlevania. That's 20 years of gaming history. More than 20, isn't it? Yeah, 25 years, let's say. That's a better estimate. All right, let's have our sound off, quote sound off, and or shout out.
I'm interested in this.
Dying monster! You don't belong in this world!
What?
Chaining thunder! Chaining thunder! Chaining thunder! Oh, God. Chain lightning! Chain lightning! I'm bored.
Me too.
Who's hung?
Let's resurrect Dracula.
Okay.
Yay! Who do we sacrifice? Who do we sacrifice?
I got the heart.
I got the nail.
I got the rib.
Oh, I got his tooth.